All right, our reading is going to be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter number 6, starting at verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, 'Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?' He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little.' One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many?' Jesus said, 'Make the people sit down.' Now there was a great deal of grass in the place. So they sat down, about 5,000 in all. And then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, 'Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost.' So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets." Amen. Amen. Now, God bless you. I want you to look at your neighbor. Put a little edge on yourself. A little attitude. Because you want them to notice about you. Look at your neighbor. You make an eye contact with him. Put on a little edge. Amen. And you're going to say, "Neighbor, what I have has value. Neighbor, what I have has value." Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We have entitled our message this morning, "What I have has value." Now, can I share this with you, young people? I'm talking to y'all first. What I want you to understand is what God has blessed you with has value. You singing here, praise dancing here, and singing here has value. What I want you never to do is the gifts that God has given you, I don't ever want you to think it ain't worth nothing. Because there are some folk who might have more gifts than you. There might be some who have less than you. But you don't focus on any of them. You just focus on you and God. And what you have to offer to God, that is what you give. It's not just money. It's time. It's service. And right now, as young folk, y'all have a little bit more time to serve. Because the money in your pockets is coming from your parents. When I see y'all walking around and put it in, we thank God for your parents because of the fact they give you a dollar or two. And I know if they give you two, both do go into the offering plate. Because I can share a quick story with you. When they made me go to church and Sunday school, we get 50 cents. And you're supposed to put a quarter in Sunday school and then put a quarter in church. But my mother would send us when she made us go, and we put a 15 cent in Sunday school, take the dime so we not got 35 cents in our pockets, and then try to make sure we don't see Nana. And then once we didn't see Nana, we sneak away from the church, go to the candy store, hang out there for a while, then go home. But I know y'all would never do that. because y'all are good kids. I know I wasn't necessarily a real good kid. Wasn't a bad one, but wasn't all that good. But what I want you to get out of this, if you get nothing else, and we're going to talk about this even in more detail. Don't ever cheapen who you are for anybody, because who you are has value to God. Now let's take this thing a step further. To all our saints who are sitting up in here, I wonder how many folk up in his church have been truly cheating themselves. What am I talking about? You see some folk pull up in nice cars. Every Sunday they got a check they writing and they put it into the church. And you just happen to one day see somebody's offering envelope and it had $200 on it. And you know all you could afford to give today was 10. But I want you to know your 10 is just as important as that 200. Amen. You see, what we have to recognize is that whatever we give, we're giving it to God. But we have to look at this story. Because what we see here in this story is that the story starts out with Jesus leaving one area to go to another. And they went into the Sea of Galilee, and y'all, it's really just a big lake. That's what they were doing. And they got in the boat. So rather than have to walk all the way down there, river and dam, wherever the next port was going to be, they just got on the boat and just sailed there. But the people were so inspired and intrigued with Jesus after seeing him heal so many sick folk, they said, we are going to follow him. So some might have gotten other boats and followed him. Other folks might have just walked along the shore waiting to see where they were going to dock at. And wherever they docked at, they were going to follow Jesus. And what happened is that wherever they docked, Jesus got out the boat. It was near Bethsaida. And as he got out the boat and started walking up the hill or the mountain, depending on your translation, but I want you to know it was an incline. Okay, that's what's clear. It was an incline. They were walking up, Jesus and his disciples. And as they started walking up the mountain, we're seeing that Jesus sat down, and sat down with him was his disciples. And he began to talk to them. And then as he looked, he saw the crowd coming. The crowd was coming. Why? Because the crowd was following Jesus wherever he would go. Yeah. So what is that telling us today, my brothers and my sisters? When you've seen the Lord do miraculous things, when you've seen the Lord bless you, do you continue to follow him wherever he goes? You see, if you're a child of God, isn't that why we're in church today? Because we are following Jesus because of what he's done for us, what he brought us through, what he has protected us from, how he is blessing us. Isn't that why we're here following Jesus? Because hasn't he been mighty good to us? Hasn't he brought us a mighty long way? Hasn't he done the impossible with us? My brothers and my sisters, when you think about all the Lord has done for you, I know I'm going to follow him. That's what they were doing. They were following him. Young people, that's why you're here today. That's why your parents got you singing. I know everybody might not be all excited about singing. On a Sunday morning, I got to get up. I was up last night till 2 in the morning playing my video games, but my parents didn't know because they're asleep. And they're going to come in there and wake me up at 8 o'clock, and we got to be at church. And, you know, I really don't want to be there. But there's benefits, y'all. There are benefits. And right now, whether you know it or not, you are already putting money into your account. And you don't really know it yet. But these words are going to come back to you. But what is happening here is that as the crowd is following Jesus, because this crowd has been filled spiritually, and since they've been filled spiritually, they are so inspired and excited that they just got to follow Jesus. But when Jesus sees them coming, Jesus recognized that we've satisfied a spiritual need, but now we got to satisfy the physical need. You see, because I want you to understand, Chris, I don't care how much we shout and get excited and get our dance on, eventually our stomach going to let us know it's time to eat. And what is happening here is that Jesus recognized that these folk who are coming have been faithful. and following him. And since they've been faithful in following him, what's Jesus going to do? Feed them. That's a lot what we do here at Broad Rock. We have a service, like last week was our church anniversary. So when their anniversary service was over at 11 o'clock, what did we do? Feed folk. They ate so much, they all came back for the 3 o'clock service. Came back for 3 o'clock. All right, come on, come on. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So what happened is this. When Jesus saw the crowd, He specifically spoke to Philip because Philip was from this area, one of his disciples. He said, Philip, man, I'm paraphrasing, man, where are we going to go get food, you know, buy enough food or bread for everybody to eat? Philip looked at him like, man, we ain't got enough to feed all these folk. And then on top of that, you know, it would take 6 months' wages for us just to get enough for everybody to get a little pinch off the bread. And then it says in the Bible that Jesus said this to what? Test him. You see, now wait a minute. Why would Jesus be doing that? Because Philip ain't just start following Jesus on yesterday. Reverend Rhodes, he had been there with him when he turned the water into wine. He saw him give sight to the blind. He allowed the lame to walk. He saw Jesus do all these things. So why would he think that when Jesus presented this to him, what his answer should have been is, Lord, I know you can fix it. But guess what? Before we beat up Philip, ain't we the same way? Look at how the Lord has blessed us with what we have. Roofs over our head, clothes on our back, food on our table, a bed to sleep in. And then all of a sudden, when it seems like a few things go wrong, we put our heads down and say, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. But what I'm here to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, sometimes it's just a test. See, young people, y'all don't know about this. See, when I was growing up, at around 2 o'clock in the morning, we thought we was doing something. And folk who are older than me understand this even more, that once 2 o'clock came, on the TV you saw them doing the national anthem and the flag was on. Somebody know what I'm talking about? And then at 2 o'clock, after you heard that national anthem, the next thing the TV, the only noise the TV would make is this boo. All the way to roughly 6 in the morning when the news came back on. So if you turned the TV on after 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., when you turned it on, it would say, this is a test, and then it would just be, so what I'm saying is sometimes when we're going through some things in life, we got to realize that the Lord is just putting us to the, and what he wants to know is that if you trusted me this far, will you continue to trust that I will bring you through? If I fixed you on yesterday, why can't I fix you on today? If I was able to turn you around 10 years ago, why can't I keep you going straight today? My brothers and my sisters, I want you to understand there's nothing too hard or too big for our God. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Anybody know that you have been through some stuff? You have gone through some tests. You might not have got an A all the time, but you thank God that he brought you through. Do I got anybody who knows what I'm talking about? Okay. But check this out. After that took place, what we see is this. Philip couldn't see the possibility, because all Philip could see was the number of folk. And he didn't know how they could do anything. Truth be told, they couldn't. But then here we go. Andrew's always doing something, bringing somebody to Jesus. Andrew is the one who saw Jesus and ran back and told his brother Peter, I found the Messiah. Andrew was always getting somebody, bringing somebody to Jesus, brother. And he's always doing it. And right there in their midst, there was a boy, and this boy was brought to Jesus by Andrew. And when Andrew brought the boy, because he saw the boy, he had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, y'all know when y'all talk about a loaf, like a loaf, no. Y'all know the little biscuits? If you ever gone to Chick-fil-A and got those mini breakfast biscuits or whatever. I haven't gotten them, but I've seen them on TV. Yeah. It's about that big. That's about how big those barley loaves. Well, yeah, they're about that big. So that means if you take two good bites, it's gone. But you had five of them, so that's 10 bites. So you can get 10 bites out of it, D, because, you know, you got two bites of it. But it wasn't made out of that good flour. Wheat flour was made out of barley. What it was made out of is the flour that poor people ate. Yeah. Poor people ate barley flour. You see, and the thing is, nobody really wanted. You didn't want nobody to know if you had nothing but barley flour. Because if you had nothing but barley flour, that means that you was poor. And you didn't want nobody to know that you were poor. But this boy had five barley loaves, which is, like I said, little biscuits. And he had two sardine-sized fish that were pickled. Because if you kept it fresh, that bad boy would have rotted. Because we got some fishermen in here, amen? And when you go fishing, what's one of the things you take with you when you go fishing, Deacon Elwood? Ice and a what? Cooler. Because once you get your fish, you want to make sure the fish get fresh so you can get home and clean them up. And then your wife gonna put them in some good cornmeal and some of her special spices with her Obey. Make sure that grease is at least 325 degrees, and you're gonna drop them in. I know somebody getting hungry, making me hungry too. But the whole purpose of doing that is you wanted the fish to stay fresh. They didn't have coolers back then. This boy had went out for the day, and as he went out for the day, his mother and father wanted to make sure he had something to eat. So he sent him out with five barley loaves and two pickled fish, because pickling the fish would keep it, preserve it until you was going to eat it. So that's all he had. So let me paint this picture. Can everybody? I want everybody to come. I ain't just talking to young people. I'm talking to everybody. I want everybody to come with me as I paint this picture. See, as I'm painting this picture, right? What is happening is, Reverend Rhodes, you stand up. You Jesus right now. Okay? Reverend Dabney, stand up. You the boy right now. I know you're a man, but I ain't trying to diss you. All right? So here we come. I'm Andrew. Jesus.
Yes.
This man, this boy has five barley loaves and two fish.
All right.
But what are they amongst so many? I know he got this Jesus, but it ain't but five loaves and two little pickled fish. But what is there amongst so many? Thank you. Y'all can be seated now. This is what happened. This is what happened. You see, Andrew started out with a good idea. Andrew was going in the right direction. It's like when Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on the water. He was doing good as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. He ran into problems when he started looking around at everything else. This is the same situation. Andrew is doing good because he stepped out and saw the possibilities. But what happened is he took his eye off Jesus and he looked at the crowd. What is this amongst so many people? Isn't that why you heard me say earlier, many of us are cheating ourselves? What is my little $10 amongst all the stuff that goes on here at this church? You see, we have some folk who can give $200, $300, $400, $500, and even some cases more. And then we have others who are not there on fixed incomes, but only can give 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever the case might be. But some folk look at what they're giving as though it's not that valuable. But what I'm here to tell you today is that it's not what you give. It's knowing that you can give. And it's not just your money. Because some folk got more time than they got. So yeah, I might can give $20 to the church. But when the church has the shoe drive, I don't have the money to give towards the shoe drive. But I'm going to be there working to give out the shoes at the shoe drive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But some folk got more money than they got time. So some folk won't give the money because they don't have the time. Other folk don't have a lot of money, so they give up a lot of time. And then there's some folk that's just blessed to have a whole lot of money and a whole lot of time. But I'm just still trying to find them, but it's all good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What I'm saying is this. When Andrew came to Jesus, in verse number 9b, where the but, he said, but what are they among so many people? You know what's interesting? Some questions, young people, hear what I'm saying to you. Older folk, hear what I'm saying to you. Some questions just don't deserve an answer. I'm going to let that sink in. Every question does not deserve an answer. Jesus was there and he had a specific purpose and an agenda. Mm-hmm. And he realized he did not have time to deal with all this other frivolous stuff. Mm-hmm. He knew that these folk were there and that they were hungry. Mm-hmm. So even though Andrew raised the question, he just said to his disciples, have them all sit down on the grass. Yeah. We're not going to deal with whatever that second part. You started off good, but you fell off. But I'm not going to deal with the second part. But just have everybody sit in the grass. You see, Jesus picked this spot specifically. Because I don't know about you, I don't want to be sitting on no hard rocks. But to sit down in the grassy area has like a little cushion to it. Remember Brother Red when you was courting Sister Red and you took her on a picnic? You ain't take her on a rocky area. When you took her on that picnic, you took that little blanket, had that little picnic basket. You took her out to the park where it was nice and grassy, laid that blanket down and said, come on, Sister Red. Well, her name wasn't Red at the time. Would you mind having a seat with me on the grass? But if you had to pick the rocky area, bro, you might not have made it this 42 years. Might not have made it this far, but since you picked the right area, worked out good for you. Amen. But the point I'm making here is this, is that everything that Jesus does is designed. Jesus does everything on purpose. And once Jesus made the decision to have the people meet him where he was, and he had them sit down, at this point, what Jesus does, he does everything in order. You see, right now, the situation was about to get chaotic because they can't figure out what this boy's little 5 loaves and 2 fish are going to be amongst so many. You see, but what Jesus did is send his disciples off and say, y'all just make the people go sit down. And then Jesus turns to the boy. It says, young man, can I have your fish and 5 loaves to feed everybody? Because you know what? Jesus doesn't take nothing from nobody. Don't you know, in order for you truly to be blessed, you got to be willing to give what you have. So young folk, by y'all coming up here singing, don't you know God's going to bless you because you give what you have? And getting back to the boy, he says to the boy, can I have it? Mm-hmm. And the boy says, he said, yes. And then once he said yes, Jesus takes his stuff. He has it in the basket. And the first thing Jesus does, he lifts it to the Father. And as he lifts it to the Father, what does he do, y'all? He gives thanks. And once he gives thanks for what he has, don't you know that God did the rest? Yes. I want us to understand what you think ain't a whole lot, but I want you to know when you put it into the hands of the Lord, I want you to know it is a whole lot. Don't you ever think that what you have ain't worth nothing. I want you to understand if what you have ain't worth nothing, that means that you ain't worth nothing. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. Because before you can see the value that your stuff has, you must first see that you have value. Yes. Who's the one that blessed you with everything you have? Who's the one that woke you up? Who's the one that turns your life around? Who's the one that provides for you each and every day? Who who's the one that blessed you to be able to retire and to get a monthly pension check? If not a pension check, I know you're getting at least a Social Security check. Who's the one that blessed you to be in good enough health to get that check, still do all the things that you do? When you understand that the Lord is the one who has blessed you, then you realize that I have. So that means that everything that God blesses me with, it has what? So what I have has what? So don't you ever cheapen what you got. Don't ever think it ain't worth much. It is a lot because God blessed you with it. Might not be as much as what somebody has, but God has blessed you with it. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Stop trying to be in somebody else's pocket. Stay in your own pocket. Praise God for what you got, because the Lord is going to bless you with what you got. Because when you take what you got and you give it to Jesus, watch and see. Watch and see what the Lord's going to do with what you give. Now, could you imagine that little boy? Because he didn't mention it again. But could you imagine that boy? See his 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Feed 5,000 people. You know what that's telling me, y'all? God can take a little. Working with me now. God can take a little. And what can he do, y'all? Turn it. But let me help you understand something. You see, Jesus had to send Andrew away from the boy because he didn't want the boy to be discouraged. Because you know that boy could have said, I ain't giving up my 5 loaves and 2 fish. Because if I give you this, then what am I going to eat? All right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the boy looked at Jesus, and Jesus looked at him, and he gave it to Jesus. Yes. So what am I saying to you? Everything that you have has value. Amen. Don't ever think that you have something that's less than anything or less than what somebody else got. Don't ever think that just because somebody driving something nicer, that doesn't mean that they're better than you are. All right. But you got to understand that you still have a reasonable portion of good health and in your right mind. When you understand that the Lord is the one who's blessing me with what I got and everything I have, it came from the Lord. And I'm going to try to cheapen it because I ain't got what somebody else got. And I don't care who in here. I don't care how much any of us got in here. There's somebody who's got a little more. So we don't worry about what nobody else got. We just praise God for what he has blessed us with. Do I got anybody who want to praise God for what you've got from him? Do I got anybody who's excited about how the Lord continues to make a way out of no way? And do I have anybody in here who recognizes that where would I be if God ever closed his eyes on me? I am where I am because my God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand there's nothing that I have that God hasn't blessed me with? Somebody ought to put their head back and say, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
I ain't trying to get in your pocket. So don't you dare try to get in anybody else's pocket. You know how the term goes? They say they're trying to keep up with the Joneses. Them some bad Joneses. But all I'm saying, all you want to do is keep up and do what God has blessed you with. So young people right now, you even might have some friends that might have a better game system than you have. You might have some friends that got 2 and 3 game systems. You might have some friends that already have parents talking about buying them a new car. You know, I don't care what the situation is. Don't you dare compare yourself with anybody else. Because what God has for you, it's for you. All you continue to do is trust in God and walk by faith. You might think, you might feel like the boy who's got 5 barley loaves and 2 pieces of fish. But let me let you in on a secret about that boy. When that boy got home, he walked through the door. His mother and father looked at him and said, why are you smiling? He said, Mommy and Daddy, I want you to know, Jesus and I just fed over 5,000 people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It don't matter what you got. When you put it into God's hand, God is release it. And do a miraculous thing with it. Why? Because what I have has
value.
Y'all got to say it like you believe it. I ain't convinced by that one. That one was a little weak this morning. What I have has
value.
What I have has
value.
You see, my brothers and my sisters, I don't care what somebody else got. You just thank and praise God for what you got. Because he's the one that blessed you with it. He's the one that's continued to bless you each and every day. So if we learn how to praise God for what we got and continue to move in what we got, that means I ain't going to be cheating God, cheating myself, but God is going to bless me because I thank him for what I got. The reason why we might not have a little more, because we don't appreciate what we got. If I can't appreciate what I got, why would God give me any more? Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor. Catch that. Because God wants you to be blessed. But he can't bless you beyond your ability to handle it. If you can't handle the blessings you got right now, don't expect God to bless you any further than where you are. Because you can't handle what you got. So what I'm saying to you is, handle it by thanking him. Handling it by trusting him. And yes, somebody might can write a bigger check. Yes, somebody got more time. Yes, somebody can do this more than you. It don't matter. I just do what I do. Because guess what? I only can do what I can do because I ain't you. And I ain't trying to be you. I gotta be me. When God made me, he made me special. And since he made me special, I gotta be used by God in a manner which is pleasing to him. And as God brings me through, I'm gonna thank him. But wait a minute. Let me let you in on the secret. Now, y'all know I became a full-time pastor here in July of 2014. But prior to that, I worked 14 years at Capital One and was doing real well. And I know some folks look out there, seeing what I'm driving and all this and that. Well, I was making a lot of money back then. Can I just be real with you? Now, what that was, none of your business, but I was making a lot of money. And then this was my supplement income. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This was my extra. But I was making money up there. But then I got sick in 2013. And when God woke me up from that 9.5-day medically induced coma, I see it like yesterday, that Sunday night when Paulette and the kids was all there and they were leaving and my aunt was with them. And Paula said, all right, get you some sleep. I told her, no, I ain't getting no sleep. I done slept for 9.5 days. Me and God got to talk. Look at her. I ain't lying. She tell you. I said just like that. And that night, I sat up praising God, thanking God. And you know what God said to me? He said, Kevin, you've allowed your career to win over your call. Did you hear what I said? And when God said that to me, I just cried like a baby. And just said, Lord, my calling has to win, not my career. And I was on blood thinners for 6 months. They had put a filter in just to make sure I could get another blood clot. And in April of 2014, they took out the filter, and I stopped taking blood thinners, and they said, you're fine. You don't need to do any of this stuff anymore. I was excited, and then I go to work a week later. They call me in. They say, well, we about to lay you off, bro. Sign this paper. We're going to give you your severance package. And I guess they wasn't sure how I was going to handle it. It's kind of weird. I just smiled at them. And they looking at me like, this fool crazy. I smiled at them. Because I know what I had prayed about. And I know what God said to me. And I know how I answered God. But I want you to understand something. Sis Pearl, you know what happened? It hit a brother. Once the bills started coming in, The bills were still the bills, but the money wasn't the same money. This money was looking a little funny. You see, because this was my supplement income. This was my supplement. It wasn't my primary. And then I started sometimes thinking about, especially when I wrote that first tithe check. Man, this ain't what it was. I'm just being real with you. I was starting to devalue who I was for a minute. But then God had to remind me. You see that little knot back there? He just smacked me upside the back of the head. He said, wait a minute. Didn't I tell you what was going on? And didn't you tell me you would allow your calling to win? And since you are now trusting in me and you're stepping out on faith, what are you concerned with? What you still have has value. He didn't say that part like that, but I see it like that now on where I am. And you know what I've learned to do? Is trust God. Still got a roof over our heads. Still got food on the table. Still got cars to drive. Money might not be like it was, but the Lord is still making a way out of no way. So what am I saying to you? Some things might change in your life financially, but if you keep your hand in God's unchanging hand, continue to look to him and thank him and praise him, don't you know he will see you through? Because when you appreciate what you have and say, what I have has what?
Value.
Then I guess what? God's going to say, I'm going to show you how valuable it is. Because God's going to continue to bless you. God's going to continue to bring you through. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Anybody been blessed by God? Anybody know it's only God that brought you this far? Is it because you know that what I have has what?
Value.
We thank him. We praise him. And we magnify his holy name. Because it's nobody but. So what am I saying? Don't you dare any longer cheat yourself out of blessings. Don't you dare any longer think what you got is minimal. You serve a God who functions on the maximum. Maximize your blessings through giving God what you got. And watch how God is going to increase you. Make a way for you. You know, I just praise God and how some folk here, when they started tithing, they started seeing that they was like, how am I going to do this? Because they're going to leave me with less money. Found out that they didn't have less, but they had more. Because it's nobody but God. When you put your trust in God and continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Don't focus on the other stuff. Keep your eyes on the one who brought you this far. Keep your eyes on the one who's guiding your steps. Keep your eyes on the one who makes a way out of no way. Keep your eyes on the one who knocks down walls. Keep your eyes on the one who opens doors. Keep your eyes on the one who built a hedge around you and said no weapon formed against you shall prosper. All because I recognize and you recognize that what I have has value. Church, you know why that's important for us? Because as we start breaking ground and start building this new building over here, that ain't going to be, it's going to almost butt up to this one. There are some folk who might feel, well, I couldn't do but so much. No. You do what you can do with what you got. And God's going to honor what you do. There might be somebody who can give thousands, but you're only able to give hundreds towards it. But God doesn't see their gift greater than yours. They're all on the same plateau because you're giving according to how you've been blessed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So don't you dare cheapen what God is doing in you and thinking somebody has done more than what you've done. Because when God looks at us, he ain't looking on the outside. God is looking at our heart. So young people, when you leave here today and they ask you how the service go, you let folk know, yeah, Jesus and I, boy, he blessed us. And folk were moved by what we did in leading the church in worship. Amen. Heard what I said? Me and Jesus. Because I can see that boy going home now, telling his parents, smiling, hands on a hip. Me and Jesus fed 5,000 with my 5 loaves and 2 fish. And mama, I want you to know, I ain't think that was going to be enough. But you know, when I got there, I ate about 5 pieces of fish. I had about 15 pieces of bread because I wasn't sure if it was going to be enough. But when Jesus gave thanks for it, I just kept reaching in that basket. I kept taking it out. I kept reaching in. I kept taking it out. I kept reaching in. I kept taking it out. Why is that telling us? Whatever God does, it never runs out. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Don't you know that it's like a river that never runs dry? It's a well that never runs dry. When you trust in God, you don't ever got to worry about things running out. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Yeah. My boy said, I'm just so full. He said, I would have been satisfied with the 5 and the 2. But after Jesus got involved, I'm just so full. What am I saying? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you have value. So do I. And our stuff. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? So don't ever let anybody tell you